Our speaker tonight is Lily Russman. She was born and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska, and has four sisters. Lily is a senior here at Pius X and has enjoyed being involved in campus ministry, student council, and choir. Please welcome Lily.
Hey, hi, everyone. First off, I just wanted to say that I am so honored to be talking to you all. I know a lot of you probably think that I have this faith thing all figured out and that it's a super easy ride for me, but those of you who know me well know that that is not true in the slightest. Just like everyone, I struggle. But the one thing that has always stayed consistent, no matter my state, has been my relationship with Christ, and I've never really even thought of walking away. Throughout this journey, there have been a lot of defining moments, and I would love to share a few of them with you all tonight. One way that Jesus speaks to me often is through song. At the end of sophomore year, I heard the song House on a Hill by Amanda Cook, and I was immediately struck by the desire to find my house on a hill. I fell in love with the line, "In the stillness, things have a way of working out." I longed for peace and silence in a time in my life that was so busy and so filled with noise. I was stressed out, I was burnt out, I was overcommitting myself to things. I said yes way too many times. Many of the relationships in my life had fallen apart, and some were on really rocky ground. I was at such a loss for what to do, and I remember constantly praying for peace and clarity. I listened to that song so many times, I'm surprised it didn't make it on my Spotify Wrapped. A couple of months later, I found that peace in my prayer life, and I had quote-unquote made it up the hill and was in my house. But God was not calling me to stay there, as much as I wanted to. I was very quickly yanked from that comfort and realized he was calling me to more. Looking back, I realized I wasn't made for a house on a hill. A house on a hill is silent, filled with solitude, but I am a crazy and loud and extroverted person, as many of you know. But he gave that to me for a few fleeting moments because it's something that I desired so deeply, because he loves me so much that he gave it to me. That summer, I went on Steubenville, and I experienced the driest adoration I have ever had. I have never felt farther with Jesus with him being literal feet from me. I was filled with such a longing on my heart, but I also felt so hurt. I was following all the rules. I was praying on my own time. Heck, I was on this huge Catholic conference, missing out on a few days of summer, and yet I felt nothing. I realized that I wanted to experience something so I could say I did. I went into that conference with an expectation on my heart that I was going to have this huge prayer-changing moment. I felt this need to portray myself to others as being so deeply moved and in touch with Christ because I thought that's who I was on the outside. But that's not. I didn't need to portray myself to others, but I thought I did because if I didn't have this big experience, I wasn't who I thought I was. People were going to judge me for not having this. I left that conference sad and empty and hurt, but I learned a big lesson. I learned that we have to experience the hard things in the distance so that when he does choose to reveal himself to us, it is meaningful. I desired this deep encounter with Christ, but that is not what he had planned for me at all. Later that summer, I got a call from one of my best friends. She asked if I wanted to go watch the sunset and then go pray, so naturally, I said absolutely. As I was sitting on the floor of the St. Joe's Adoration Chapel, journaling my heart out, I felt a gentle nudge telling me just to sit and listen. I put my pencil down, sat back, and closed my eyes. All of a sudden, I was on the beach, my happy place and my favorite place to pray with Jesus now. As I was laying on the beach, Jesus invited me to go out and swim with him, so I did. We eventually went out deeper, and he began walking on the waves. I stood solidly by myself for a little bit, but then I fell, and Jesus picked me back up, of course. Suddenly, we were out on the boat during a storm, the same boat the apostles were on when Jesus walked on water in front of them. A while back, I had done Lectio with this passage at a torch dinner, and I remember being ready to step out of the boat and so excited to walk on the waves, but I just couldn't do it. So this time I did. I jumped again and fell, but Jesus caught me. And then we were back on the shore on a sunny day. Now, I was running and I was jumping and I was dancing on the waves. I was the most joy-filled I have ever been. The vision snapped back to me on the shore holding Jesus' hand, and he said to me,
Someday, darling, you will be that filled with joy. That will be who you are. But right now, you'll just keep holding my hand. I was so excited to hear this, but I knew I was nowhere near that joy yet. This next year, junior year, was a year filled with desolation for me. Desolation is a season of feeling distant from God. You don't feel him in prayer, there's little to no motivation to pray, and it is just dark. Desolate means empty or bare, so desolation is a season of emptiness, and believe me, I felt empty. It was as if someone had pulled the plug on me and drained all my energy out. I didn't have many friends in a lot of my classes, pre-calc was hard and draining, and I was barely at home, and everywhere I was, I felt like I didn't belong. Obviously, there was so good in my junior year. I had loving friends, I loved going to youth ministry, and I enjoyed being around my family, but every day just seemed like an uphill battle. Satan is so good at making the little insecurities and the little hardships seem bigger than they really are, and that's exactly what he did with me and still continues to do. I'm sure many of you feel this way to some degree, whether you experience it frequently or rarely ever. Desolation hits people differently and at different times in our lives. Through all of this, I still felt Jesus' promise to give me the joy I so deeply desired, and that helped me through even though I wasn't hearing him like I wanted. That March, I went on tech. Now I know the stigma around tech is that it changes prayer lives, and for me, that's true to some extent. It didn't change my prayer life radically. I didn't have this huge conversion moment. It just enhanced it and made it so much better. While I was sitting in adoration, I was taken back to the beach. But this time, I was dancing, truly dancing on the waves with Jesus. I was so filled with love and with joy, and I knew in that moment that this is how life is supposed to be lived. It is supposed to be lived with joy even through desolation, and it is meant to be lived with Christ in that joy. Throughout this whole journey, my relationship with Christ has grown and changed. No matter where I am on my climb up the hill, he is always by my side. Even when I can't feel him or hear him, he is there. And that's true for all of us. He is always walking beside you, trying to grab your attention. He is always speaking to you, whether that be through song, the mass readings, visions, or simply nudging your heart. It is hard to hear his voice in a world that is so filled with noise, but I have come to know comfort and peace in it. Noise from the world is going to fill you with fear and anxiety and cause you stress, but Jesus won't. When I was asked to give my testimony, I was immediately filled with fear and anxiety. Who in the world would want to hear what I had to say, especially about the faith? That day, I was driving home, listening to worship music, praying about whether or not I should give my testimony and what it would even be about if I did. The song House on a Hill started playing, and I was struck. And I heard him say, "It's your time, darling." Right after, the song Dancing on the Wave started playing, and there I knew I was supposed to what I was supposed to talk about. In this moment, he spoke to me through song, but he speaks in many different ways. It may be scrolling on TikTok or Instagram Reels and seeing one that makes you pause because it's something you needed to hear. It might be the words of a friend or a teacher or a sibling. He is always pursuing you, and he never wants to be apart from you. Sometimes he speaks to you in the most ridiculous ways, like Starships by Nicki Minaj for me, or AC/DC's Back in Black for my mom. He wants you to hear him, so he'll talk to you in ways you'll understand, not the ways you think it's supposed to be. Jesus is anything but predictable, guys. He knows your heart so well, and he's going to speak to you in a way that you're going to hear it, not a way you think you're supposed to. You were so uniquely and intricately made that your prayer experience is never going to be the same as the person next to you because you don't need the same things, so there's no point in comparing where you're at. There is one thing that is the same for all of us. You were made for joy, and that comes from a relationship with him. Now, I would love to lead you guys in a meditation on Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. I invite you to close your eyes, sit back, open your hands, and do whatever you need to do to hear his gentle voice. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once, Jesus spoke to them. "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I'm going to read it again. Put yourself in the story this time. Where are you? Are you on the boat? Are you on the water? Are you just watching? What does Jesus' voice sound like when he calls to you? Then he made the disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once, Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter asked Jesus to reveal himself to him, and Jesus did. We are told, "Ask and you will receive." And we can see that so clearly with the way Jesus allowed Peter to walk on the water, something that is not humanly possible. There is no request too big for Jesus. Give him the desires on your heart tonight. Ask him for what you want, and be ready to hear him in whatever way he desires to speak to you. So tonight, while Jesus is right here in front of you, fully present in the mystery that is the Eucharist, don't be afraid to come up to him, sit before him, kneel before him, and ask him to reveal himself to you. Thank you.